The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and that shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we may ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth hour of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they had gotten out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might even touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. But I'm also going to add in some material that Matthew adds about this story, where Peter ends up walking on the water as well. When I taught three of the four kids to drive, so please pray for me, that means I still have one more to teach, there were a few basic rules, one of which entailed making a comment about the lack of mental capacity of all the other drivers. And also one of the rules were, if you're not comfortable driving, don't do it. You know, like rain, snow, too much traffic, something like that. And invariably, what I would do is push the kids, especially the three girls, since it was only the girls, push them to the edge of their comfort level to see at what point would they actually invoke that, "Dad, I don't want to do this, you take over." In the gospel lesson, there's a certain point. As I said, I'm also going to be talking about Peter, because in Matthew, he talks about Peter coming out there. Peter gets to that point where he turns control over to Jesus and says, "Jesus, command me to come to you, and I will." And Peter steps out on the boat, or from the boat. Time of day is somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning, very dark with a lot of wind and waves. Now, this is an inland lake, by the way, the Sea of Galilee, but big storms can come up very, very quickly. What's the lesson that we can learn about Jesus here walking on the water? Well, first of all, it's an important story in the Gospels because 3 out of the 4 Gospels mention this story with greater or less details. I mean, certainly we can talk about the fact that Jesus controls all that he created. And that would not be an unfair interpretation, just looking at that, that God controls all of creation because he made it. One of the dangers of looking at it just that way is if you take it too far, Jesus becomes sort of a magician. A couple weeks ago, I talked about King Herod. That was the Jesus he wanted, was the magician who could do tricks. Certainly, Jesus can control everything he's made. It's his. But I want to concentrate on another lesson from this, how he shows his power in us. Peter said, "Command me and I will come to you." Peter's not saying, "Let me walk on water." Jesus, you control me and I will do what you tell me to do. Think about Jesus walking on the water. Now, I've known a lot of people who thought they could walk on water. Okay? But trust me, if any one of us goes to a good-sized swimming pool and takes a step over the 8-foot-deep water, you will go down. None of us are going to walk on it. When Jesus is walking on the water, he is clearly showing, yes, I'm human, but you know what? I am also more than that. He was showing that he was the Son of God. There was no doubt when you see him walking on the water, he's not quite like us. And Peter wants, when he says, "Command me and I will come to you," he wants to see Christ's power in himself. Now, the other 11 disciples, this is probably where I would have been in this story, because I don't like water. I would have been holding the boat going, "No, I'm not moving, I'm not moving, I'm not looking, I'm not looking. Ah!" To quote the great philosopher Daffy Duck, "I'm a sniveling little coward." All right, and that's the 11 disciples in the boat. They're all being Daffy Duck and being sniveling little cowards. They're not going to go. How oftentimes are we kind of like the 11? And we wonder, why doesn't God do great things in me? Man, I need God's power in my life now. I need God's power in my family right now. Peter, on the other hand, Peter has great trust and then shows weakness. Peter a lot of times reminds me of an airplane engine. Back in the good old days, now it's everything's electronic. I mean, I'm talking the good old days, World War I. When planes were planes and men were men. And you know how they started the planes? They turned a little crank, and then this one very brave idiot would grab the propeller and pull it down. It would sputter. He'd grab it again. Boom! Now, he had to get his hands out of the way because when it caught, that blade was moving quickly. This is sort of Peter when it comes to faith. Every now and again, Peter shows a little bit of life. And he sputters. Boom! And then stalls. See, I've been practicing these sound effects, okay? And it's really not until the book of Acts, in chapter 2, go, good stuff. Okay? That's kind of like Peter in this gospel lesson. He starts and then sputters out. And I can kind of relate to this when it comes to projects around the house. I am really good at starting them. And when it comes to my plastic models, I am not going to admit just how many I've got started that aren't finished. But it's more than 12 and less than 100. And, Susan, how close are they to being done? Almost done. Because I get 90% done and then go, and stop. Come on, men. How many of you, sir, clean that garage and do the exact same thing? Or you just never start the garage and then you can't stop. See, Peter starts well with good intentions. He just doesn't finish well. He gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. He's walking. I mean, that just had to be amazing. He steps out with just pure faith. He's walking on the water. And the other 11 are in the boat. No, I'm not. Peter, what are you doing? I can imagine Andrew, his brother. Wait till Mom hears. All right. He sees the wind, the waves, and then Peter starts to sink. He started out great and then sputters out. Peter does this quite oftentimes in the Gospels. If you move forward in the story to when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and all the disciples bolt and run, it says Peter and John followed behind. It's pretty commendable. Jesus has been arrested. Two of his disciples are still with him. They're following. They want to know what's going on. John knows the one person tending the gate at the temple, gets Peter and John in. They're watching the trial, the religious part of the trial before the Sanhedrin. Peter's there. And if you look at the gospel, Peter is standing right by the fire. Now, I'm sure all of us have been standing around a campfire. When somebody's standing next to the fire warming their hands, you can see them, right? Yes! Otherwise, I was going to start a bonfire and show y'all. But, you know, some people always sort of sit on the outside edges and you can't quite see him in the shadows. No, here's our boy Peter. He's right up the fire. So Peter's got good intentions, maybe. And then all of a sudden, I can just imagine Peter's looking around and he's seeing all the soldiers with the swords. All the soldiers with the swords. All the real angry people. And then that girl comes up to him and says, Peter, aren't you one of his? No! And then it starts the three denials. Once again, Peter starts out with great intentions, and then sputters out again. I only watch two shows each week. Yeah, I'm not a TV junkie. But one of the shows I watch, you have this group of people, they travel around the country. And they seem to get in a whole bunch of series of adventures and misadventures and stuff like that. And there's always one character who says, and they're always started off in a vehicle, and he says, don't get out of the boat, because every time we do, bad stuff happens. So, of course, they leave the vehicle, and they get into trouble. And then they come back at the end of the show, get back in the vehicle, continue to drive. And he always says, see, I told you not to get out of the boat. See, that's a lot of the ways that people look at life. Don't get out of the boat. An author, John Ortberg, wrote, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. If you want God's power displayed in your life, you've got to get out of the boat. You've got to get out of your seat and into the deep water. So how do you get out of the boat? Well, first of all, you got to know what the master wants. What does it mean when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? What does it mean to take up your cross and follow him? How do those things affect the way I live? Too many people see the Bible as just a how-to book. How to have a happier marriage. How to have better children. How to be a better person. Yes, you can find verses that talks about those things. But how does God's power show through you? We are called to imitate Christ. And Paul talks about this in his epistles quite often, that we are to be imitators of Christ. So I guess if Christ is going to walk on water, so should I. And I'm not talking about in a literal sense, because do you know which direction I always go when I step into water? Straight down. So I know better than that. That's not what I'm talking about here. Is stepping out in faith. And I've got to know the teacher. I've got to know the one I'm calling out to. Master, call me and I will come. What do the truths of the Bible mean for me? In today's society, again, we've been fighting this one maybe for 100 years. And some will argue that the Bible has to change with the times or change with the science. No, the truths of the Bible remain as they are and always have been. You know, whether you read the Old Testament or the New Testament, haven't you read through any of those sections and gone, we're doing the same thing today? Right? I do not know how many times in Thursday morning Bible study, as we're stuffing our face full of pie. Yeah, we do. We do study the Bible. And we're looking at something in the Bible, and somebody will invariably remark, you know, we're doing the exact same thing today. See, people are not getting any better. That's a whole thought that started back in 1900, that society, according to Darwin, was getting better, and we could build a perfect society because people are getting better. Guess what? Are people getting any better? Nope. Technology just lets us sin faster. It lets us sin easier. You know, there were things growing up that I knew about, but I never saw. Well, my little phone, 3 little buttons, and went, ho! Okay, people have not changed. Jesus remains the same. He is the one constant through all of time. And he tells us to be more like him. To show grace where grace is needed. To seek justice where that's needed. The problem is, can we perfectly imitate Christ? No. I learn that every time I get behind the wheel. And because of that, we realize that I cannot perfectly imitate Christ. We all end up being like the 11 in the boat. Nope, I'm not getting out. Nope. Oh, I do not want to. See, I got one eye open. I don't know if you can all see that. I do not like what I see out there, so I'm just going to stay in my little boat and just hold on. So when Peter begins to fear, he begins to sink. That's sin. Faith always stays focused. Well, I should point this direction, not that direction. This direction. Faith is always focused on what Christ has done for us. And Peter walked while he was focused on Christ. We need to focus more and more on Christ. Not ourselves, not what some big wig tells us this is the way it's supposed to be. No, we need to focus on Christ. The control of our lives is not in our hands, but His. So do we stay where it's safe in the boat? Or do we get so scared that we're afraid we're going to look bad? When we step out in faith, how many times do I really want to do this, or could I look bad? And when we stay focused on Christ and we're carrying out His work, the results then are not the results of my work, but the results of His work. And does anything He does ever fail ultimately? So let's say I step out in faith and I do something. And from my perspective, it doesn't look like a success. But is it a success? Yes, because it's His work, not mine. Somehow He's going to use that quote, the way I view it from my sinful human perspective, as a failure. He will use it as a success. So what do we have to fear? Everything we're going to do in faith will succeed in His will. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.